We're about a minute after one, Pete, and you got, I think, three of the four committee members online, as well as several other board members that are not on this committee. So when you're ready, I think we can get rolling.
Okay, I'm ready to go. This is the Idaho Water Resource Board Stream Flow Enhancement and Minimum Stream Flow Committee Meeting Number 1-22. Monday, March 14th, 2022 at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And at this point, if we could take the attendance, please.
What we will do, Pete, is of the committee members, you have yourself as chair. We have Dean Stevenson, Dale Van Stone. We are missing Roger Chase from the committee. And okay. Then other board members on the call are Brian Olmsted, Joanne Cole Hansen, and Jeff Raybould.
Oh, great. All right. Well, at that point, Brian, if I could hand it over to you to take care of it.
Okay. We'll do, Mr. Chairman. At this point, I am going to turn this over to Amy Castle, and she will actually take care of items 2 and 3 for us.
Sounds good. Thank you, Brian. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Amy Castle, and I am the program manager for the Idaho Water Transaction Program. The second agenda item is I'm going to provide a brief update on the Idaho Water Transaction Program. So I'd like to navigate you over to the board's website, and then we're going to go down to the Water Transaction Program page and navigate into what's called the Idaho Water Transactions Program Story Map. And this is a website that we built with the intent to provide information to the public. All of our active transactions can be located on this website. We have information about the mission, philosophy, and history of the program. We have a funding tab. We have all of our active transactions listed here. Can people on Zoom see my mouse as I move around?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And then I'm going to just speak briefly to a couple of transactions that have been discussed quite a bit in the last couple of years and try to address any sort of misinformation or misunderstanding about these transactions. And then also provide some comments from several of our water users that have water transactions with the Water Resource Board. So, of course, the mission of the Water Transaction Program is to support innovative, voluntary, grassroots water transactions that improve flows to tributary streams and rivers in the Upper Salmon River Basin for Chinook salmon, steelhead, bull trout, which are all listed under the Endangered Species Act. Here on this page, you can see here is the Upper Salmon Basin here in the red, and then the larger Columbia River Basin. So the water transaction is under what's called the Columbia Basin Water Transaction Program, which was developed in 2002 to address chronically diminished stream flows in tributaries of the Columbia River. At that time, stretches of many streams and rivers in the basin were running low and sometimes dry in summer and early fall because of legal irrigation withdrawals. In order to enhance stream flows in the Columbia Basin, the CBWTP works through locally based entities to acquire water rights voluntarily from willing landowners and supports grantees, which we are in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Montana, to assist landowners who wish to voluntarily restore flows to key fish habitat. So in 2003, the Idaho Water Resource Board became a qualified local entity of the Columbia Basin Water Transaction Program. Between 2003 and 2021, so essentially 20 years, The Water Board has implemented a total of 107 transactions in the Upper Salmon River Basin and has contracted a total of 686 cubic feet per second of water aflow to tributaries that provide habitat for endangered and threatened fish. So moving over to this next this tab. So this is this tab lists every water transaction, and you'll note that we've included the Middle Fork Salmon Basin because the board does have several water transactions in the headwaters of the Middle Fork. So members of the public can zoom in and see if I can move some stuff over here. You can zoom in and you can see all of our transacted reaches and those streams in the Upper Salmon. So for example, you can click on this particular stream. This is Iron Creek. We have a 20-year agreement, source switch agreement on Iron Creek, and the amount of transacted flow on Iron Creek is just over 7 CFS. So members of the public can navigate through this page. And as you zoom in, the transacted reaches will pop up there in yellow and you can click on them and learn more information. The two transactions that one more thing before I move on. Currently, we have 44 active transaction agreements on 26 streams in the Upper Salmon Basin. And these water transactions protect approximately 176 CFS across 77 stream miles. So we are in a pretty large geography here in the Upper Salmon and continue to expand opportunities as they come to us. So as I said, there are a couple of water transactions that have been given a lot of attention over the last couple of years, one of which is the Big Timber Creek transaction. So let's head over to that tab under the source switch tab. Big Timber Creek is located near Ledore, Idaho, and it's one of the largest tributaries of the Upper Lemhi River. The upper reaches of Big Timber contain high quality fish habitat, both in physical characteristics and the cold temperature of the water. Historically, irrigation withdrawals in the lowest 2 mile reach dewatered Big Timber and left the channel dry for most of the irrigation season. So there's a lot of information about the history, what the transaction is, what the fisheries are. And then I think this is a pretty telling photo. That photo on the left is pre-transaction. It was taken in 2009, and that's essentially a dewatered Big Timber Creek. And then on the right is post-transaction. That photo was taken in September of 2018. So this was the problem that we were trying to solve. And the Water Board worked with two senior water users on Big Timber Creek to enter into these source switch agreements. So hopefully you can see my mouse, but Big Timber Creek runs north and then empties into the Lemhi River right here near the town of Ledore. And the Big Timber 2 diversion, which is right here, you can see this historic ditch, and Big Timber 1 diversion were the two senior water users that could legally divert and dewater Big Timber Creek. Those water users agreed to work with us, and they added a point of diversion to their water rights through a water right transfer. They worked through the Department of Water Resources, filed a transfer, and added a point of diversion to their water rights. Though that transfer was like any other transfer that is processed by the department, in which there was a 2-week protest period. People could pay $25 and file a protest and then resolve their protest through a process. And it was not unlike any other transfer process that, that is done by the department. The department did not receive any protests. And so these two water users were able to successfully add a point of diversion to their water rights. And so what does that mean? So this water, they call, the senior water users now call for their water down Big Timber Creek. They spill that water, that senior water, past Big Timber 3 diversion and then the Big Timber 1 diversion. They spill it all the way to their mouth, to the mouth. And then that water is called for and re-diverted at two Lemhi River pump stations and pumped back up to their original place of use. There is no loss in production. There is no idled acres. The full duty of that water right is delivered and then re-diverted and put to beneficial use. That water does not leave the Lemhi River Basin. The water users are obviously, there is an increased cost for this type of transaction in that they are no longer flood irrigating. They are now pumping to flood or pumping to sprinkle. And so we base our cost of water on how much it costs them to annually pump that water at their new points of diversion on the Lemhi. And that's how we calculate the cost of water. Those estimates vary based on the irrigation infrastructure, the size of the pump, the horsepower, the size of the place of use. All those things are taken into account and calculated by one of the board's engineers. And that's how we calculate the cost of water. One of the water users that participates in this program on Big Timber Creek is Merrill Beeler. And I just, he wanted to share, he wasn't able to attend, but he gave me some positive comments about his experience with the transaction program. And so I would just like to share those with you right now. This is Merrill. Beeler Ranches is a participant in the water transaction program with senior water rights on Big Timber Creek and Canyon Creek. The water transaction program has been and is carefully configured to achieve important benefits for agriculture, our natural resources, and our community. All of these are important goals of our business and what motivated us to become a participant. In the early 2000s, salmon became stranded below the L6 diversion on the Lemhi River. This became an unsettling and challenging time for our valley. Using the water transaction program as an effective tool, challenges were addressed, solutions came into being that kept irrigators whole, had a positive effect on natural resources, and kept our economy stable. The transaction program became the tool that allowed us to explore and eventually begin to reconnect tributaries back to the Lemhi River, such as the reconnection of Big Timber Creek to the Lemhi. The water transaction on Big Timber was a 10-year process. Everyone was invited into this discussion. No one was left out. And when anyone had a question, we met. Water transactions require infrastructure. Infrastructure of necessity requires supplies, contractors, machines, workers, and a supporting network. Early on, there was a determination this work, to the extent possible, would be accomplished by local contractors and businesses. This has diversified our economy and made it more resilient. Literally millions of dollars have flowed into our community. Take a look at the businesses in our community and the families that this work helps to support, and be thankful. Be thankful we are not spending our resources in court, and these resources are available to us to make our lives, our ranches, our resources, and our communities better. There are always choices. So those were just a few comments from Merrill Beeler. And then I would like to move on to another type of transaction that has received a lot of attention over the last couple of years. And these are the agreements in Lower Lemhi River to maintain the minimum stream flow at the L6 diversion. This picture right here is the L6 diversion. The board holds a minimum stream flow at the L6. Let's go into the map. The L6 diversion is right here, and it's located a little over 6, almost 7 miles upstream from the mouth of the salmon. Let's see here. So prior to the adoption of the minimum stream flow at L6, which occurred in April of 2001, the river, the Lemhi River at L6, could legally be dewatered, fully diverted and irrigated for irrigation. So this picture on the left is pre-transaction. That photo was taken at some point in 2000. And you'll see that is obviously not a fish-friendly situation, a dewatered Lemhi River. And then the picture on the right was taken in August of 2018, and that's about 25 CFS of flow. So how do these water transactions work? So the water board has worked with a number of water users that divert from either the L6 or the L7 diversion. And we enter into what we call subordination agreements. And those subordination agreements can either be on an annual or short-term basis. They can also be on a permanent basis. And those water users that participate, and they are all senior water users, when they enter into this agreement with the board, they agree to essentially subordinate their water right to the board's minimum stream flow. So they essentially say, we agree to restrict our delivery of our water right in order to meet the board's minimum stream flow at L6. The board's minimum stream flow is, the target flow is 35 CFS from March 15th to June 30th, and 25 CFS from July 1 through November 15th. So it's, you know, working with these water users, willing participants, that we have been able to maintain connectivity of the lower Lemhi to the upper reaches of the Lemhi. You know, Merrill referred to an unsettling time in the Lemhi in the early 2000s. And I think that stems from, you know, this dewatering incident back in early 2000, where there were three juvenile Chinook that were stranded, and NOAA Fisheries was threatening enforcement for take. And those water users could have been fined very large sums of money. So it was important that the board and other agencies, such as the governor's Office of Species Conservation, Fish and Game, all came together and worked together to work with the legislators to create this minimum stream flow, so that we would then have this mechanism in place by which we could enter into these agreements and protect flow in stream. So one more comment from one of the water users that participates. But before I move on to that, I just wanted to explain briefly how the compensation for those deals are structured. It's nothing like the Reconnect projects, like what we did on Big Timber Creek. The compensation for the permanent subordination agreements, because this is a permanent easement, if you will, that's placed on the water right. It's attached. This easement is attached to the deed. So even if the property changes ownership, whoever owns that property is agreeing, yes, I own this water right, and I agree to restrict my delivery in order to meet the minimum stream flow. Those agreements, subordination agreements, are based on an appraisal done by a certified Idaho water certified Idaho appraiser. The short-term or annual agreements are based on calculations that were made early on, looking at production values and other things. I believe it was through the Lemhi Soil and Water Conservation District folks and maybe some U of I Extension folks. And what we currently pay is $90 per CFS per day. Now, mind you, if base flows are good, natural flows are good, and we're able to meet the 25 CFS target without buying water, then we don't buy water. So on a good water year, we may pay for 5 to 10 to 15 days of subordination. On a poor water year, we may pay up to 50 days for restricted delivery. On a very poor water year, like last year, we paid the contract max of 100 days on a number of our agreements, on all of our permanent, and then on quite a few of our annual agreements. So again, it just really depends on the water year and what natural flows are in that given year. So one last thing before we move on, I just wanted to share a comment from Lowell Cerise. Lowell Cerise is a rancher in the lower Lemhi, and he diverts out of the L7 diversion. And this is Lowell. I have participated in the water transaction program for roughly 20 years. Our senior water rights are used to provide fish passage water or in-stream flow at the L6 diversion. Our participation in the water transaction program has incentivized us to manage our irrigation differently. We get, quote, wet up when the water is available because we know we may not be able to irrigate later on. The majority of the water used in the transaction program at Arden in the Valley has come from places that no longer have the scale necessary to be a viable agricultural enterprise in today's world. Point being, the transaction program has not damaged the viability of our ag in our neighborhood. The water transaction program is a valuable tool to bridge the gap between ag and fish recovery. So I just wanted to address a couple of specific transactions that have received a lot of attention over the last couple of years and try to identify maybe some of the misunderstandings and address those directly. So if there's any questions or comments, I would appreciate them. And if not, we'll just keep moving through the agenda. Hearing none, let's move on. So next item is John Lafredo, who is the project coordinator for the Upper Salmon or for the Water Idaho Water Transaction Program, is going to present several transactions that we have been working on.
Thanks, Amy. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. For those of you who haven't seen my face yet, I am, as Amy said, the project coordinator for the Water Transaction Program. Been with the program for 13 months now, so got a year under my belt. And for your consideration today, I have two funding resolutions considering Lower Lemhi water transactions that Amy teed up perfectly. Won't really give any more background detail. I think Amy covered that just fine. So just kind of diving right into the first funding resolution, which is going to be an annual agreement with our with Lowell Cerise. He is, as Amy said, he's been a participant for nearly 20 years. He's been participating in annual subordination agreements that entire time. And in 2022, we would like to renew one of his water transactions for a total of 3 CFS. 3 CFS at $90 per day per CFS is a total of 27, and for 100 days max, that contract is $27,000. And that transaction funding will come from the Idaho Fish Accord Water Transaction Program, our Water Transaction Fund through BPA. If there's any questions, I'll take them. If not, I'll continue on to the next one. Okay, moving right along then. As Amy mentioned, our contracts are for 100 days maximum. And in a typical water year, we come nowhere close to meeting that 100 day maximum. Irrigation season in Watershed 74 is 243 calendar days. And usually 100 days is enough to cover that target flow of 25 to 35 CFS between spring runoff in June, that tapers off in June, July, and when fall rains typically arrive in early October. However, last year, we kind of had a trifecta of early season water withdrawals, complete lack of precipitation in the spring, and then higher normal temperatures resulted in a very fast runoff period. So we had to tap into our subordination days very early in the season, and fall rains didn't materialize until November. So we were scrambling to find subordinate to try to max out our 100 days of subordination. The board last year luckily came to our rescue and allowed us to enter into 30-day emergency drought response contracts that subordinated water users or participating water users, which were there three, were able to sign on to 30-day contracts that subordinated at $90 per CFS per day. We were able to get 15 out of the 25 CFS secured through those emergency drought contracts. And that funding again came from the Idaho Fish Accord Transaction Fund. And going forward, we're kind of taking the long view that 2021 wasn't a one-off year, and we will likely need additional subordination days. And we would like to ask for the ability to enter into these agreements, these short notice agreements, moving forward using funds from the Idaho Transaction, Idaho Fish Accord Water Transaction Fund that Amy has been banking the last couple of years. In the event of a large permanent transaction, like a large fund permanent transaction that could use those funds. But in lieu of a permanent transaction, we would like to use those funds that are around $200,000 for these 30-day emergency drought response contracts for the next 5 years in the event that they're needed. I don't know if I mentioned, but last year we needed 123 days of subordination at L6 to meet that target flow of the entirety of the irrigation season. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, if board members would like to, the two funding resolutions are in your committee packet today.
So, Mr. Chairman, what we would be looking for would be a recommendation from this committee to the full board to adopt these two proposed resolutions regarding upper salmon transactions, if that's the committee's choice.
If somebody'd care to make that resolution, anybody on the committee?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dean Stevenson. I'd move that we recommend these transactions to the full board.
Thanks, Dean. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? Well, then we all in favor say aye.
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 Those not in favor, nay. And it passes.
Okay, the next item, Mr. Chairman, will be a proposed transaction on the Teton River, and Sarah Lean with Friends of the Teton will present this proposal to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thanks for having me today. I am Sarah Lean, Flow Restoration Director for Friends of the Teton River. I'm here to discuss the renewal of a transaction on Canyon Creek. And as Brian mentioned, we're over in East Idaho, tributary to the Teton River. This renewal would be for an additional 3-year term. Can I go ahead and just get the map pulled up in the materials?
Yeah, go ahead.
Perfect. Okay, great. So Canyon Creek is a pretty remote tributary in the Teton River. Just to help you get oriented here, Teton Valley is over here on the right. Main stem Teton River is marked. And then Canyon Creek is right in the center of your map. So among prioritized tributaries in the Teton River watershed, Canyon Creek ranks at the top due to its valuable high elevation habitat, historic productivity, importance as a Yellowstone cutthroat trout spawning tributary, lack of hybridization in that Yellowstone cutthroat trout population, and the ability to comprehensively address limiting factors in the drainage. As a result, FTR and its numerous partners have made Canyon Creek a high priority stream for watershed restoration. FTR has been working to address limiting factors on Canyon Creek for nearly a decade, having addressed fish passage and habitat and stream function constraints through a series of projects from 2010 to 2015, FTR recently sought working on flow restoration and addressing fish entrainment issues on Canyon Creek. So Canyon Creek Canal Company operates a large unlined canal system, the POD number one marked on the map. It's located about 10 and a quarter miles upstream from the mouth. Historically, up to 70 CFS of water was diverted into that canal, providing water for the service area hatched there in yellow, which is just over 10,000 acres of ground. Since the mid-1970s, in addition to the unlined canal, the water rights owned by Canyon Creek Canal Company have also been diverted at four other locations. Three of those points of diversion are located on Canyon Creek, kind of right smack dab in the middle of the map. And the fourth is identified as POD number five on the Teton River itself. In 2020 and 2021, FTR and the Canyon Creek Canal Company, through funding with the CBWTP and Idaho Water Resource Board, implemented a two-year pilot water transaction. Under that, Canyon Creek Canal Company agreed to close the canal diversion and instead divert those water rights at the other authorized points of diversion, the three on Canyon and the one on the Teton River. The pilot transaction was really successful. In closing the unlined canal, we have fully dealt with the fish entrainment issues on the system, a really big deal. And the improvements in flow have ensured that fluvial Yellowstone cutthroat trout, which primarily live in the Teton River, can make it up into Canyon Creek, complete their spawning runs, and fully migrate back out to the Teton River, something that was not necessarily a given prior to this transaction. In addition, we have restored significant water and improved habitat between the Canyon Creek Canal and that lower pump station on Canyon Creek, right around the Highway 33 there. So throughout that two-year pilot project, FTR was collecting flow, fisheries, and diversion data. And together, Friends of the Teton River and the Canyon Creek Canal Company have used that information to develop a long-term flow restoration strategy. The strategy involves increasing diversion capacity at four points of diversion located on the Teton River, which are owned and operated by the canal company shareholders, thereby allowing the majority and potentially all of the Canyon Creek Canal Company water rights to be diverted out of the Teton River as opposed to Canyon Creek. Addressing the diversion capacity constraints at these Teton River diversions is a multi-million dollar endeavor. with construction expected to occur between 2022 and 2024. There's more details regarding the long-term strategy in the document in your materials entitled Bureau of Reclamation Water Smart Project Map and Project Summary. I won't get into that right now unless there are questions about that, but you can refer to that for a little bit more insight. Suffice it to say that to bridge the gap between when those infrastructure improvements are funded and implemented, FTR proposes here a continuation of our short-term agreement with the company for an additional three-year term. During that three-year term, the company will keep the unlined canal closed just as it did before and enter into a water management agreement specifying that it will divert its rights at the other four points of diversion. $285,000 is available through the Columbia Basin Water Transaction Program to support this three-year transaction. That's $95,000 a year. The cost of the transaction aims to compensate the company shareholders for the increased pumping costs associated with closing the unlined canal, as well as some deficit irrigation that they're experiencing as a result of this transaction. The transaction has been reviewed by the Columbia Basin Water Transaction Technical Advisory Committee, and funding to support the transaction has been authorized. So very similar to the last transactions, we're asking the committee today to consider this three-year transaction on Canyon Creek. With the committee's recommendation, the attached funding resolution will be presented to the full board on April 1st. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions that folks might have.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff, if I could.
You bet.
Sarah, maybe a couple of things you ought to explain to the committee or what the priority date of this Canyon Creek Canal Company water right is in comparison to other water rights on the lower Teton, and what the length, the typical season of use is for that water with the priority date it has. And then also how much transmission loss was occurring in the Canyon Creek Canal Company, the orange line that will be eliminated by pumping directly from the river to the fields.
Sure. So the water rights themselves are not incredibly senior in the context of the region, though they are the most senior on the stream. I think what is perhaps unique about these water rights is that once they fall out of priority, perhaps not unique, is that the water users rely on storage water to divert out of priority, keep those pumps running once the individual priorities have fallen off. So in a typical year, we would see these water rights fall out of priority. Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but by the middle of July, generally.
Yeah, I would think that would be the longest that the water right would be in priority, but you are correct. They have supplemental storage water that they divert in an exchange fashion. They divert natural flow out of priority, and then it's replaced with storage water further down the Teton River.
Yeah, so pumping persists despite the water rights coming out of priority throughout the entire irrigation season due to that storage piece. And then the unlined canal here, we did some loss rate studies on this canal, and it loses anywhere between 40 to 60% of any water that you put in it from start to finish. So while that water, of course, was sinking into the ground, some of it would have historically returned as groundwater returns to Canyon Creek. There is a great deal of utility in avoiding that ditch loss, really serves to improve water reliability for these folks and obviously improve stream flow.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, Sarah, this is Brian Olmsted. I'm not on this committee. I'm just on the board, but just for my own curiosity, so the Columbia River Basin funds are not just for salmon and steelhead that are endangered from the Columbia, but also is it typical to use them up in Yellowstone cutthroat habitat also?
Yeah, so Friends of the Teton River and Amy Castle, please feel free to chime in here, has been working in partnership with the board to develop transactions exclusively in the Teton Basin, I think since 2013. The Columbia Basin Water Transaction Program is set up such that there is a specific pool of money for anadromous flow recovery that is separate from the accord agreements as well. And then there is a smaller funding pool to support flow restoration geared toward resident fisheries, such as Yellowstone cutthroat trout. And so this transaction competes for that smaller resident fisheries funding pool.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed to know. That's not good to know.
Sure, this is Pete. Isn't that amount about 25%?
Yeah, I think it's a 70-30 split with 30 going to residents. Yeah.
Any other questions? Brian, I think we've got a resolution also to pass or vote on here. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. If it's the committee's recommendation, we'd be looking for that the committee to make that recommendation to the full board to recommend Chairman, this resolution.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This is Dale. I'll go ahead and pass a resolution to commit a funding commitment to the Canyon Creek Transaction Agreement.
All right, thank you, Dale. Do we have a second? Roger isn't here, so I'll second that motion. Is there any further comment? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those not in favor say nay. And not hearing any, that motion would pass. And thank you. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, you're at other items that committee or board members may wish to discuss.
Do we have any other items or for the board or committee members rather?
Mr. Chairman, this is Amy. I do have just one quick item to discuss or at least to bring to the board's attention. I just wanted to let the board know that this committee specifically know that, for the past 5 years, the Water Transaction Program has used one of the transactions tools, our lease rental agreements. Some of those are short-term agreements, 5 years, some of those are 20-year rental agreements, and several of them are permanent rental agreements. In the past, when we submitted those rental applications, we asked for a shortened season of use in order to take the annual volume that was under that water right and shrink it down to typically a 3-month rental season of use in order to maximize the amount of flow we could have under that water right. Because mind you, we are only entitled to the consumptive use portion of the water right. We are not entitled in these rentals, in-stream flow rentals, to the full duty of the water right. So in the past, and we have 5 or 6 of these agreements in place, when we submitted these to the water supply bank, and then when they were reviewed by the department, we were able to successfully obtain a 3-month rental, shorten that season of use, and increase our rate of flow during what I call the period of ecological significance. So typically July, August, September, when we need to maximize flow in order to support fisheries. Our last rental application that was submitted to the department this last fall was recently issued, and we there's a bit of a departure, if not a pretty major departure from the previous analysis, in that we were not able to get a 3-month season of use, but we were issued a 6-month season of use with much reduced rates of flow. So we are working through the proper channels with the department at this time, hoping to, we've requested a re-review and request for clarification. There's no need for the board to be involved at this time. That may change, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention, knowing that this is a tool that we may not be able to use in the future, depending on how this shakes out. And I think, unless anyone else has any other comments or items for discussion, I think that's the agenda for the day.
All right, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff. Hey, Amy, what was the department's reasoning for taking this new view that we couldn't have the shortened season of use? Or are we still negotiating that?
Well, we're still sorting through that, but they did cite a transfer processing memo, but that is that was for conditions for meeting a transfer. I think the short answer is there could be injury, there could be enlargement. However, I don't think anything in their analysis has actually shown injury or enlargement. I don't think there is injury. Very unlikely there is enlargement, but like I said, we're still working through this with the department and hoping we can come to some sort of agreement or resolution. And if not, we will probably come back to the board for further input.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. I think that actually closes it up. So I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so moved.
And I hope included in there was a second. Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
All right. At this point, then, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Everybody.